The first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme for our midweek Lenten devotions this year is suffering and the Christian. To organize our meditations, we'll be following the first epistle of St. Peter. This letter has often been called an epistle of hope, and indeed it is. But it is a specific hope. Hope in the midst of suffering. Hope in the midst of trouble. In each of the five chapters of this letter, the apostle addresses the reality of suffering, of being grieved by various trials, but nevertheless, of living in Christian hope, and thus also joy. In addition to the five readings from 1 Peter, we'll also be praying two lament psalms in Vespers each Wednesday. These psalms provide us a guide from God's word, an example from fellow believers of godly response to suffering. I doubt that any Christian would be surprised to hear the life of a Christian described as a life of hope. There's nothing astonishing in the words with which our text begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The hope of which St. Peter writes is not hope as in, I don't know, but I hope it might happen someday. What Peter speaks of is a certain hope, a living hope, a hope based on the fact that having been reborn in holy baptism, having thus been united with Christ in his death and resurrection, you have an inheritance in heaven, a salvation that cannot perish, cannot be defiled, cannot fade away. That's because the Almighty God is protecting you and guarding your heavenly inheritance, so that both you and it are kept safe until that final day. As sinners redeemed by Christ, this is our hope, and we rejoice in it. But hope and joy are not the only certainties in the life of a Christian. also certain are grief and suffering. Hope for salvation brings joy, Peter writes. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. In this world, Christians have been, are being, and will always be grieved by various trials. It's tempting to cling to Peter's words, if necessary, and believe that suffering and grievous trials can only rarely, if ever, truly be necessary. But this is a dead end. Our Lord himself, on the night in which he was betrayed, told his disciples in no uncertain terms, "If the world persecuted me," and he who was speaking was him who would be scourged and crucified within hours, "if the world persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In the world you will have tribulation." The Apostle Paul taught the same very thing. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The "if necessary," St. Peter has written, based on the grammar he uses, could be better translated, "since it has to be." This would render his words, "You rejoice though now for a little while, since it has to be, you have been grieved by various trials." The Bible expects and assumes that the lives of Christians will be full of suffering. A majority of the Psalms, for example, only make sense if you are troubled. This is the assumption. The Christian life is a life opposed. The Christian life is a life assaulted. The world, your flesh, the devil, all have you in their crosshairs. They won't stop until the Lord has brought you through death to eternal life. Peter would have you know three additional things about suffering and grief. First, it will be for a little while. Peter perhaps chose these words, remembering Jesus' teaching on Holy Thursday. "A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you." This is your suffering. It is a little while suffering. The present suffering you are undergoing wants to lay claim to your future. But your future belongs to Jesus. That means that no matter what the trouble is right now, your future has no more trouble. The trouble you feel in your heart, the trouble you feel in your mind, the trouble you weep over in your family, those tears and sorrows and the shudders of this life are to be no more. Even though in the midst of suffering, the clock can tick very slowly, it will end. But your salvation, it will endure forever. Throughout all eternity. The second thing St. Peter would have us remember is that our troubles reveal that our faith is golden. This is hard for us, and we really don't like it at all. But no matter where we turn in the scriptures, we hear that the Lord is using our troubles. Jesus is using our troubles for our good. Peter writes that it is necessary for various trials to grieve the Christian so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter seems to have known a lot more about testing gold than I did. These days, gold is often tested with acid. Pure gold, 24 karat, will not be dissolved even by a strong solution of acid. In less pure gold, gold alloyed with another metal, the acid will dissolve that metal, and the solid left will weigh less than the initial lump. A similar thing happens when gold is subjected to fire. Pure gold will get brighter as it heats up. Less pure gold and fake gold will get darker or change in color. That, Peter says, is the effect of trial and suffering on faith. When confronted by the fire of suffering, faith will not be destroyed, but will endure and thus be proven genuine. One theologian commented, "The very sharpness of the trials that test your faith is an evidence of its preciousness." And though it isn't St. Peter's point here, the scriptures also say that God uses suffering as a refiner's fire, to purify faith, to separate out dross and contaminants. A third thing we can learn from Peter has to do with faith versus sight. We're used to hearing faith contrasted with works, that salvation comes not by what we do, but through trust in Christ. The Apostle Paul, though, wrote to the church in Corinth, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And we also read, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen." So also here, Peter contrasts faith with sight. In this life, suffering tempts us to believe that what we see reveals the ultimate truth. Satan would have you believe that your suffering is evidence that either God is angry with you and doesn't love you, or that God is not strong enough to help you even if he wanted to. Neither of those is the case, Peter says. When Jesus is revealed, when you see him with your eyes, you shall see clearly that both in joy and in woe, he has loved you dearly. Thus, your suffering is a reminder of your sin and of the salvation that Jesus won for you by his suffering on the cross. Your suffering reminds you of your weakness and also of Jesus' resurrection for you. Your suffering reminds you that you are a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, and sets your eyes on the resurrection and inheritance of salvation, which is to come. And your suffering reminds you that you have a God who suffered for you. You have a Savior who suffers for you. He loves you so much, he refuses not to suffer with you. Amen. Let's rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.